Okay, everybody, welcome. Please, with me, Jan Boots.
Good morning. God bless you, everybody. It's such a privilege to be able to gather, even if it's virtually, to hear God's word. And I thank Barney and Vicki and Bob and Jeannie and Jan for making this opportunity available. For me, it's always such a privilege to be able to share what God puts on my heart. And today I'd like to share on the power of speaking God's word. 1 Corinthians 12:1 tells us that concerning spiritual matters, God does not want us to be ignorant. He wants his children to understand spiritual things. Yet we live in a natural world. So to help us with our understanding, the scriptures give us many examples in the natural realm to show us how things work in the supernatural realm. Some examples of that are the example of the word of God being scattered among the peoples of the world as it is preached, just like seed is sown by a farmer in his field, and both will yield a harvest. Or the heavenly hosts of God and the hosts of the devil are organized in ranks or principalities and powers, like the military we see in the physical armed forces. The functioning of the body of Christ is likened to the workings of the human body, with each member having a particular job to do. And the last example is the believer's relationship to Christ. It's likened to a vine and the branches. Only if the branches remain attached to the vine will the branches produce fruit. So when it comes to words, specifically God's words, we need to understand the effect that those words have, because it's words that govern the supernatural realm. And we can see in the natural realm how words work. Words are made up of sounds, and sounds produce vibrations that travel in waves. There are laws of physics that govern the transmission of sound. When we utter sounds, we cannot see the sound waves leaving our mouths, but we can see the effect that they have on the hearer. Listen to the following scenarios and note how you react to each of the statements or the words that are spoken. Upon seeing a close friend walking down the street, you receive the greeting, "Hello, my friend. You sure look great today." Did you pick up the kindness? Or you're enjoying a pleasant conversation with colleagues at a company-hosted banquet, and the president interrupts the meal by speaking this statement into a microphone, "Excuse me, everyone, please be quiet." Did you get that there's something urgent that probably would follow that statement? Or a home builder has just completed a model home and gets word that an inspector who is known for being super critical will be coming to review the finished product. The home builder says, "I'm really looking forward to seeing him." Now there was some sarcasm. And the last example is you run into an acquaintance at the grocery store and tell him or her that you will be moving into a new home this weekend and could really use some extra help. When he or she responds with, "Well, I don't know, but I'll see what I've got going on that day," are you truly confident that they're going to get that you're going to get their help? They were pretty noncommittal. You see, in the physical realm, we hear words all the time, and we constantly interpret what we hear based on who is speaking, the circumstances under which they speak, the confidence with which they speak, the volume and the emphasis they place on their words, and also the track record they have regarding the integrity of what they may have spoken in the past. oftentimes as believers, we speak God's word, but we don't necessarily have the confidence that those words will come to pass, especially if there are words that we have spoken over and over again and we still haven't seen the results. There is a man who used to be a substitute teacher in a rather rough public school, and he related it in an interchange he had with a student in a classroom of rowdy high schoolers. He said that he kept repeating, "Please be quiet and take your seats. Please be quiet and take your seats," when he was challenged by one of the students. The student said, "You aren't a real teacher." And he replied, "Yes, I am a real teacher." And the student replied, "No, you aren't. If you were a real teacher, you wouldn't be crying." There's some credence to that student's observation. How could the classroom be brought under control by someone who didn't have the confidence that they could handle it? So what does this have to do with the power of our words as children of God? We have all heard many teachings regarding the power of words, and we can think of several scriptures that emphasize this truth. A couple of very common ones are, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof," from Proverbs 18:21. Or Luke 6:45, that ends with, "For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." Jesus Christ is our example of what our lives as children of God can and should look like. When he spoke, his words always made the impact that he intended. He calmed a storm on the sea with a command, "Peace, be still." He raised a man who had been dead for 4 days with, "Lazarus, come forth." He took upon himself the sin of all mankind by not opening his mouth and uttering words. He was always in command of his words. How did he do it? If we can understand how he could be so confident and why he always got such excellent results, we too can walk in the same power that he did. First, we must realize that the Lord Jesus Christ studied the scriptures, which at the time that he lived were comprised of the Old Testament and the prophets. By studying the scriptures, he would learn how important words were to God. In the very first chapter of Genesis, the phrase, "And God said," occurs 10 times. And the words that God spoke caused things to happen. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And it was so. When God spoke, his words produced vibrations and sound waves containing spiritual power that caused what he said to come to pass. The sound waves could not be seen, but the effect of those sound waves are still in effect to this day. Hebrews 11:3 says, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Isaiah 55 is a very familiar record, but I want to start reading in verse 10. It says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void or empty, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So, as the Lord Jesus Christ learned from the scripture, we too can learn that the word of God has power, great power, creative power. Next, the Lord had to come to understand that he had been sent by God and had been given the authority to speak God's word. In Luke chapter 4 is the record of the opening of his ministry, the public start of his ministry. And we'll start in verse 16. It says, "And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" Can you imagine being there and the impact of those words that he was proclaiming that he was the Messiah? In John 6, verse 63, we see that he made this statement: "It is the Spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Wow, he spoke with absolute confidence. He knew who he was, and he didn't apologize for it. He declared what the scripture said about him and let the chips fall where they may. Those who were looking for the deliverance that was to come from the promised Messiah were blessed and comforted by him. Those whose hearts were not right with God, namely the scribes and Pharisees, they hated him. But he did not allow that to stop him from the mission that he knew God had given him. Well, we too have been commissioned to speak for God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 20, we read, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." We can see this truth in the word regarding who we are in Christ. And yet sometimes we don't speak with the confidence and boldness with which he spoke. Why? Because there's another element that the Lord Jesus Christ was absolutely secure in that sometimes we struggle with. The Lord was absolutely certain of the Father's presence and the Father's love for him. In John chapter 8, let's start in verse 26. He says, "I have many things to say to you, say to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, 'When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things, and he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him.'" It is very important that we realize that we are pleasing to the Father and that He is always with us. Ephesians chapter 1 is one of the places we can see this truth. Starting in verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." God has equipped us with everything that we need to be able to walk with power and authority. We only need to supply the willingness to carry out what we've been called to do. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit as our teacher, and we have 9 manifestations of Holy Spirit to operate. We have God's Word so that we can know the things that have been freely given to us by God. We have the power of attorney to use the name of Jesus Christ, that name that is above every name. And we have the love of Christ dwelling within that energizes our believing to speak and act as God's children with all power. None of what we have has been given, none of what we have been given to allow us to walk like Christ was earned. Everything that we have is by God's grace. It is His desire that we rise up and believe what we have been given so that we can boldly stand in any circumstance and speak God's words of power and fully expect that we will receive the desired result. We are new creations in Christ, and old things have passed away. The days of wondering if we are really what the Word says we are need to be over. The world is crying out, even begging for answers, and we are the only ones who have been equipped to provide those answers, those of us who are sons of God. We must be confident that the words that we speak are spiritual life, just as Jesus did. We must believe that when we speak, the vibrations of the spiritual sound waves are released and have the same effect as if God Himself spoke them. If it doesn't come to pass the first time we speak, we're not to lose heart. We do have an enemy who will resist us and who is looking for any sign of hesitancy or weakness. As we remain faithful to speak God's words, and we are relentless about speaking the truth no matter what we see in the senses realm, we shall absolutely see the word come to pass, because God is faithful and His word cannot fail. Something that will help us as we strive to have more power when we speak God's word is in a verse that I'd like to close with. It's a very familiar verse, but much is revealed in what it says. And this is in Mark chapter 11, and we'll start in verse 22. It says, "And Jesus answering, said unto them, Have faith in God, or have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says." Now, there are 2 different words for say in this verse. Say unto this mountain is the word ipon, which is to issue a command. Believe what you say is the word lego, which means simply to speak or say something. So let's go back and read that again using those words. For verily I speak unto you that whosoever shall command this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he speaks shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he commands. The things that we speak when we are just speaking will have an impact on our hearts when we give a command. We need to get to the place where we believe what we say whenever we are speaking. So let's rise up and truly believe that we are who God says we are and speak his words that are backed up by his power. We are sons of God with power, and we can walk as Jesus Christ walked. Let's chisel away at the challenges with the power of God's word. Jeremiah 23 says that it's the word is like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. It took Michelangelo over 2 years to sculpt the masterpiece David with a chisel and a hammer. So don't be discouraged if you haven't seen your desire come to pass after 2 days or 2 weeks or 2 months of releasing the power of God's word into the atmosphere. God's word says that we have the power to do the works of Jesus Christ, and there is no word of God that is void of power. And so to close, I've asked my dear, dear, dear best friend and husband, Ron Booz, to read a poem for you. And the title of that poem is Don't Quit.
When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure turns about when he might have won if he'd stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You might succeed with another blow. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. Success's failure turned inside out. It's the silver tint of clouds of doubt. You never can tell how close you are. It may be near, though it seems afar. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worst that you mustn't quit.
God bless you guys. Thank you.